This episode contains sensitive topics around alcohol abuse.
Hello and welcome back to the Talking Head podcast. This is the second time I'm recording this, the first time I completely messed it up. But today's podcast is all about lifting spirits, and that's the sort of theme that we're going to go along with. I'm joined by Blair, who actually has been on the podcast before, and the first conversation was sort of about his experiences. We'll cut to you there, waving. And the first podcast we did together was all about sort of his experiences, sort of almost down in the dumps, almost in a way.
Yeah, we spoke about because, sort of like, you know, the me in the throes of my depression and everything like that.
Yeah.
It was quite a sort of a down and heavy subject matter. Yeah, so looking forward to doing something a bit more positive and a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is actually the first time we did the podcast, it's almost exactly the same. I'm still in Leeds. You're, you know, sort of Surrey based.
Yeah.
It's almost the same situation as it was before.
Yeah.
It's a shame we can't do it in person, but like obviously with the restrictions, we just physically can't.
Sure.
But yeah, no, you actually contacted me, and obviously we've actually got to know each other since sort of uni and stuff like that. But he contacted me saying that I sort of wanted to do another one because the first one was a bit heavy. I want to do something a bit more lighter. And I actually thought this was a really good idea and just talk about things that really help us lift our spirits and feel better and sort of helped sort of distract ourselves from sort of issues that we might be having, just little things that have helped us and benefited us that we could share with other people. So we're going to talk about that for the entire half an hour, which
yes.
is, you know, I think is very nice. So yeah, sort of a little change in sort of what we call it, like you've got the gear sticking, putting it into a different gear.
Yeah.
And you're going a bit slow, so you're putting it into second from third. You know, you're sort of slowing it down. You're entering a 20 miles per hour zone. So yeah. Blair, obviously I know lockdown's happened, it's a nightmare, but what has been the best of your week?
Oh well, I mean that's really hard to say because this week's been very, very slow and boring. I guess the highlight was your last episode.
Oh,
thoroughly
enjoyed
it.
This is a loyal listener.
And low point, I guess, was, what was it? Oh, yeah, I cooked some chicken yesterday and I burnt it. So that was pretty, you know, I mean, my life's not very
pretty terrible
at the moment. You know, it's
but you know what? The low point isn't bad. And yeah. The fact is, I didn't actually ask for it. And I was sort of dreading. He was like, oh no, what's he going to say? The chicken's fine. We'll take it.
I was upset. I mean, you know, I did cry for about half an hour.
I apologize. Sorry, I didn't realize how much it meant to you. No, so the best of my week has been probably sort of chicken related as well. Nando's. I just had a Nando's. I sort of didn't dress up, but I've got my corduroy short on. I wanted to, you know, act like I was going out as much as you can. And I had my vegan chicken thing. I had to point out vegan because in case anybody, I know Dylan who listens to the podcast, who's, you know, helps us with the team. He will stab me if I have any meat. He won't. He's fine. But I had my vegan option. Very nice. First time I've ever had a vegan option from Nando's. And I loved my Nando's chicken and then sort of obviously became vegan. And I was sort of dreading actually having a Nando's. Still really good. It's like an imitator wrap. So that was really good.
Yeah.
And I got it in hot.
I've been watching a lot of stuff, cooking shows recently and stuff as well. And, it seems like the sort of substitutes for chicken, for beef, all that sort of stuff are really up their game. And so, you know, actually, I think that, you know, it's more about, you know, like with Nando's, it's more about the dressing, the seasoning,
yeah,
the spices,
definitely,
all that sort of stuff. So, you know, as long as the substitute really is quite good. So, yeah, I think it's, I might even consider going vegan myself. It's just that I've got to get over these sort of, you know, I'm really going to miss having a steak or something like that, you know.
Anyway. I think at one point, I don't know why, I mean, I've got this idea. I know it's a terrible idea, but I want to do a vegan-based podcast, if that even makes sense, just because I think there's a lot to talk about. And there is actual discrimination that goes on within sort of meat eaters and vegans. And I know people that have had those experiences and I would very much like to talk to them. So I think that'd be a great topic of conversation that we could have at one point, but we'll leave that for another time.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot to go into.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about today's topic, which is things that have helped lift our spirits. And so I've wrote down a sort of a vague list, but I wanted to start with you because you're the person that started the idea and birthed the idea into the world of this podcast. Mm. So give me what your sort of one thing that has helped you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess, you know, as you know from like the previous podcast, what I find when I get depressed, when I get down, I disappear into myself and I lock myself away in my room. I don't go out. I don't talk to people and stuff. And that's really not a healthy way to deal with it. So, you know, where I try and make a conscious effort to get myself out of the slump by doing things that I know will make me feel happier, make me feel better, rather than just allowing it to sort of fester and get worse. So, you know, I mean, there's... I'm a big fan of Dungeons and Dragons, the role-playing game. I don't know if you've ever played before.
You know what? I've actually always sort of wanted to play it a bit. I feel like it's just a lot to sort of learn, but it's always been like something. One day.
Essentially, it is just kind of like sat around a table, talking, improvising the storyline. You have a person that kind of, you know, gives you the dungeon master tells you the story, and then you sort of all as a group decide what you want to do. And the good thing about that, I think, is that it sort of like it creates a bit of escapism from the real world. You know, you know, for an hour or two, you get to sort of play a different character and in a different world, and it's quite good fun. And it sort of, you know, it flexes that creative muscle in, you know, which I think is great as well. You know, so I find it good fun. I find it lifts my spirits and. Also, it's something that can be done over Zoom, even though it's not the ideal situation. But, it's something that can be done during lockdown as well. So, I'm actually part of the I'm one of the presidents of the D&D Society at Farnham, although we have at Farnham Uni, although we haven't actually got to do anything yet because all the societies have kind of been put on hold. But, yeah, hopefully once lockdown's over, we'll start getting groups together and stuff. So if any of your listeners are at Farnham, which I'm sure a few of them are, then
we'll drop a link down below, so people can sort of do it.
So I mean, that's been one good thing for me that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, so it's interesting you're talking about sort of escapism. Sort of being somebody else is sort of a nice distraction, and just it's a nice sort. A lot of people enjoy escapism just to sort of, again, be a different person, but like, mate, I don't know. It's just like escape. It's escaping reality, isn't it? And I've sort of experienced that not from D&D, but also I wasn't actually going to bring this up, but then you made me think about it. And sort of improv. I've always been a fan of improv, and probably why I like doing podcasts quite a bit, because improv, it comes quite a bit into that. You know, you're sort of not improvising conversation. Well, you are improvising conversation, but you're sort of you're creating this conversation and keeping it flowing. And I've always sort of been a fan of that. And sort of I've done drama for a long time, and I did quite a lot of improv over the years. And I think that's sort of how I wanted to become sort of a writer in a way, because when you're an improv, you're just coming up with stuff on the spot like all the time. And I'm very much a fan of just being able to sort of, okay, right, this is something, and just spontaneously doing stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, how good does it feel when you sort of do things like that? You know, like you get excited, you start thinking about story, and you start thinking about this and that and the other. And it obviously releases the dopamine and whatever and makes you feel better. So how can it not be a good thing for anybody? You know, I mean, you know, I'd strongly advise anybody, even if, you know, like just for themselves, they don't have to write for anyone. You could just write for yourselves and come up with a story and start writing it, because it just gets those creative juices flowing, and I think it just makes anyone feel better, you know.
Definitely. 100%. Like I can't say how many people have like come to me and said, I have an idea for this short film or this story, and then they pitch me it and they go, but I've not started writing it yet. And I goes, how long have you had this idea? Oh, for a few years. Few years. Yeah, it's mental. And like, honestly, the best advice I can give anybody, and I know I'm not too experienced, but from my own sort of experiences, and I've worked quite a bit quite over like the last year, is literally as soon as you think of something, get it down. And you might not finish it, don't worry about that, just get it down, and you'll notice sort of the things that you want to finish will come naturally. And so, and then again, when you finish like a story or something like that, even if you think like this is shit, once you finish something, the absolute amount of dopamine that gets released once you finish, like, you know, creating something is immense. And that comes from, like, many things. Even just watching a film is like, once you've finished watching a film, you can say that you've finished watching that film rather than quitting halfway through. Stick it out, and then you're like, oh, I finished that film. You know, it might be rubbish, but still, you've finished it. And so a rush of dopamine. That's why I like watching films quite a bit, is because not only do I really, really enjoy films because, you know, it's my passion, but also it is escapism for that an hour and a half. Yeah, and then afterwards, you get that extra bit of like, oh, I've already seen that. Like, you can talk about it to other people. So it becomes more. So, you know, it's like it gives like two different things. Doing it, and then afterwards.
There might be an argument that escapism is not good because it's not going to make your problems go away. Well, look, everyone's going to always have problems and stuff, but sometimes you need a respite from it, you know? You need, you know, like, don't spend so much time in your own head thinking about your problems, because it's just going to bring you down even more. And you know, so, you know, these little distractions are good to sort of, you know, like, and then, you know, the more of these kind of things you do, I think the more, you know, like, it's going to elevate your mood, you know, and actually your problems might not seem as significant as they actually are, you know, like,
definitely.
Yeah you know, everyone always says, and I think it's one of the top things on when you sort of Google things to do to make you feel better, is exercise. And you know, like, it was always, you know, it always seems to be this sort of emphasis on go to the gym, or, you know, like, or go cycling or something like that. And it's like, well, you know, not everyone's built for that sort of thing. And, you know, I've never been a gym goer. I mean, I've had, like, in my time, probably about 3 gym memberships that I've ended up defaulting on and never going. And, you know, it's not really my cup of tea, I guess. But actually, you know, I found just going out for a walk sometimes actually just energizing. I don't like walking either, but, you know, it's just that walk to the shop.
Something
back
to do,
sometimes,
isn't it? Yeah.
You know, it does feel better, you know, especially during lockdown when you're stuck in and you can't do anything. It's just really, really frustrating. I mean, you go to the gym yourself, don't you? You know, like, so.
Well, I don't go to the gym. I don't go to the gym.
You did.
Used to go to the gym. I bought like a year membership and it expired last January. And I didn't want to renew it because I knew that I'd be off to uni, and I thought, well, I can't be arse doing sort of monthly. And honestly, I had this goal that was going to be like, oh, I'm going to come out and be like The Rock, you know, I'm going to be like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and I'm going to look buff. And it just didn't happen because unfortunately I very much struggle to put on weight because I've got such a fast metabolism. I do try.
All right.
Too much sometimes. I eat too much sometimes, but I do try. And so I've sort of decided to sort of do my own home workouts, which has sort of been beneficial to sort of learn that before lockdown. So it sort of was a good thing anyway. And so, yeah, I've done quite a few sort of home workouts. We won't do a live home workout talking head podcast episode. That's not going to happen.
No,
me and gym shorts
and
headbands. It's not going to happen.
We'll do a talking head podcast exercise video instead as a special.
Well, funnily enough, I have got an exercise bike right there that I could use. So if you want to reenact the Call on Me music video, then we can if you want. But we won't do that.
No.
Not until we reach 2,000 subscribers.
There we go.
Followers.
There's a promise for you. Right. Okay. So you got to get your subscribers up. If you want to see Taylor in his tighty whities on the exercise.
Okay.
Bike.
Okay. We'll make it a pledge then. If we reach 1,000 subscribers or followers by the end of the year, then, and that was a goal anyway, then I will do and reenact the Call on Me a music video with a headband on a cycling bike. I don't know who wants to see that. You might not even want to. That's maybe like a thing where people don't want to then follow.
You heard it here, folks, so yeah. Get your friends.
It's something I'll do
following.
I'm not desperate yet. It's still January, it's fine. Anyway, moving on from that swiftly, why don't we give our own sort of recommendations for so we were talking about art and stuff like that. So we're both film students. I think it's only right if we recommend some films that sort of we might go back to or rewatch if we sort of ever need to be like lift our spirits.
Absolutely.
So is there a film for you that sort of you would go back to?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. There's quite a few, but one of my things is that every Christmas I always sit down and watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy in a row, the extended editions or whatever. Those films for me just are, you know, they are my favourite films. They're just feel good, you know. Like, I mean, the especially like the ending. I mean, obviously it's quite an old film now, so I'm not going to worry about spoilers. But you know, I think I cry about 3 or 4 times just because of how good it makes you feel. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. That's always a good one. Great nostalgia for me. I don't know. They're normally sort of films that they're like guilty pleasures in a way, aren't they? You know, but.
Yeah,
you know, and it might remind you of childhood or a certain time in your life or something like that, you know.
Definitely.
Hook. What about you?
I think, yeah, stuff from my childhood like sort of sticks out at me. In my head, it's the first film I actually saw in cinemas. I must have been 5 when this came out. Ratatouille.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. I love Ratatouille. I haven't seen it.
You've never seen, no. You know what, Ratatouille is so, I mean, I went to Disneyland a few years ago, like this must have been like 6-7 years ago now, but I distinctly remember purchasing, using the monies that I'd been given to by my parents to buy a sort of Remy sort of plush thing, and I think that was my best friend for a long time, which is tragic, but you know, it is what it is. And I don't know, I've always sort of, when I found myself low, I'm always like, oh, should I watch Ratatouille? Yes. Unfortunately, it's only on Disney Plus now, so I might have to buy it at one point. But yeah, you know, I don't own Disney Plus because, you know, I don't see any point to buy it yet. But, you know, that and then Flushed Away as well. I don't know why Flushed Away is a good film for me. Also about rats, and the weird thing about this is that I actually really don't like rats. I've got a massive fear of rats. Like honestly, one time I saw one about 2 years ago at a bus stop, and I ran for about 2 minutes in the opposite direction. It was terrifying. But for some random reason, Flushed Away sticks out to me as a film that I would go back to. Yeah, so those are the films that really stick out to me. And then we're talking about Christmas Nativity as well. Banging film, which showed you.
We watched that just before Christmas, didn't we? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and I'll stick by it. It's one of my favourite films.
I enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to like it. I mean, it started off a bit sort of like, and I was like, not sure about this. But
yeah.
I did enjoy it, yeah.
So, again, sort of giving recommendations, let's talk about music, because music is something that has helped me as well. Do you listen to any music when you want to sort of get upbeat or...?
Yeah, again, I think it's like, for me, music and films generally, you know, it's not always just about, I mean, I'm a big Smiths and Morrissey fan, which, you know, like...
I'm not sure how much that cheers you up, though.
No, it's kind of like, but it's funny and sometimes morose kind of lyrics to... you know, upbeat plinky plonky music, kind of like, I don't know, it's weird. I mean, I find it actually does uplift me. It makes me laugh, you know. I don't know, it's just kind of like sometimes I go back to an album or you know, something that just reminds me of, you know, some fun times that I've had, you know, like I used to be a big fan of Eminem, Dr. Dre when I was a kid. When I was 18, Eminem was like the biggest thing, you know. You know, Stan came out, and that was just like, you know, and everybody loved it.
Sort of music for me, I don't really want to go into it because I think people will already know. If you listen to the podcast, you already know. basically, anything indie at this point, I will listen to, because a lot of indie now is just very just upbeat, sort of like, you know, just make you feel good sort of songs and often talk about these sad subjects, but just sort of make it seem really happy and sort of like, so I don't know, anything that you can dance to and have a bit of a boogie to, I'm down for. So yeah. And then sort of, do you read any books? Cause I put literature down, and honestly, I'm one of the worst people for reading. Cause I don't read.
I wish
I read more. In fact, I actually recently, had this book purchased for me. I'll show it up to the screen here. You probably can't You can read that backwards.
I can't see it anyway, but then I'm half blind anyway.
No.
Go on, tell us.
This is a book of poems, right?
Oh, right.
And I never thought I'd read poems, but honestly, the work of John Betjeman, I can't recommend enough. It's just very, very ironic sort of British poetry that is just like, it's so true to modern day. And I just bought that because it's really good writing material, like writing inspiration and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know, it's just sort of very satirical and quite funny. So, yeah. I should read more because, again, it's the idea of completing a book that you can't. That's a really big rush of dopamine I found from when I remember when I was young. I used to read all the time, probably while I was a happy child, right?
I think the last book I read was The Da Vinci Code when it first came out.
Jesus,
how old is that?
Christ,
anyway,
and there's been three films about those things.
Sorry,
since
actually, no, tell a lie. I read The Catcher in the Rye last year.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah,
is that any good?
I really liked it. I mean, I found it a struggle to read because it's about the sort of anxiety and the inner thoughts of one teenager. Even though it's sort of set in the 50s and the language is different, but it's very relatable. And there comes a point in the book where it's going to go one way or another, and. Mm. You don't want it to go one, but you kind of feel like it's going one way. And I found that really difficult. My anxiety, I had to sort of just finish it all off and read it all in one go when it got to a certain point, because I just had to know, and I had to get rid of that kind of like anxious feeling that I had for the protagonist. It's funny because it's, the J.D. Salinger who wrote it said that he's dead now, but never wanted it made into a film. So there'll never be a film of the book as long as, I guess the Salinger estate will, his family will uphold his promise, but maybe
again, anything could end up then back being remade. Maybe Shakespeare didn't want any of his work reimagined.
Yeah.
And then we've just completely and utterly done him wrong, and he's rolling his grave. Yeah. But I saw something recently. It was like there's a film about Bowie, and called Stardust or Ziggy or something.
Stardust,
And he didn't want a film made about himself, but they made it anyway.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feature any of his life, like any of his songs.
Yeah.
I find completely bizarre. Like, how do you make a
well? Actually, it's funny though. I'm a fan of Smith and Morrissey. There's a film about Morrissey and Johnny Marr and stuff. But Morrissey didn't put his name to it. Didn't want anything to do with it. So it can't feature any of the songs of the Smiths, it's kind of like a Bohemian Rhapsody or Rocket Man kind of documentary with a bit of dramatic flair, I guess. But this one doesn't feature any of his songs, so it just kind of fell short, really.
I think it becomes a point where you sort of, you want to adapt something, but then is there really any point if there's going to be so many obstacles that you can't really create?
Yeah.
Another dangerous sort of topic that I put down, because I say dangerous because it is retail therapy.
Mm.
Okay, the two words, and they're dangerous words because, like... Do we recommend that? It's a dangerous thing. Retail therapy, I think, can be a great thing sometimes. If you're if you have some sort of money to your name, and I know that at the moment is a tight time, so a lot of people don't. But sort of, even if it's something like not inexpensive, but not something like, it doesn't have to be like a £200 hoodie. People spend the massive designer brands and all stuff. There's like literally a small little addition to your wardrobe sometime can make you feel a lot better. I found that. I mean, literally, I wanted a corduroy short for ages, right? And I was like, my mum was like, do you want anything for Christmas? I was like, can I have a shirt, please? I was wanting a corduroy shirt from ASOS. And I know it's not going to be mentally expensive, but this is one of my staple pieces now. So, a little bit of, it's pizzazz to your
yeah.
wardrobe, couldn't make you feel bad.
You know, because I didn't go home for Christmas or New Year or anything. You know, a relative gave me money instead, and so I decided to buy something that I've always wanted, I bought myself a sword. It's one of the replica. Mm. It's a replica of one of the swords from Lord of the Rings, but. You know, I mean, it's essentially an expensive ornament, you know, but yeah, I love it. I don't know. I was so excited when I ordered it, you know, like it came from France. It took about 5 days to arrive or something like that, which was like really quick. Every day I'm checking like the shipping thing. I don't know. Yeah. It's just kind of like, I was excited about it. And when I got it felt great. Yeah.
But you must have like done a bit of like hanging, like holding it in your hand and being like, yes.
Oh yeah, in the back garden. Yeah. I was
at least once a day or something like that.
Yeah. I slept with it. No, I'm joking. it's great. No, that's good fun. I'm going to order. I'm going to start collecting them because actually, you know, it's something that I've always wanted to do, but just not really ever just push myself to do it. But now I've got one.
Yeah, I would just advise never to go overkill on it because then, you know, you end yourself looking at your bank and then you're going, probably shouldn't have done that.
Take it from someone who's had a lot of
money. maybe we shouldn't have shared.
Don't put it on credit cards and don't get loans because it's that will haunt you for life.
just be careful. And never spend more than you have or can comfortably spend. That would be my advice. I was going to like just talk about sort of stuff that spontaneously come to mind when we just sort of think about what gives us happiness.
Actually, one thing recently,
you start.
Drinking.
Mm.
Now, drinking's a really difficult thing because... it's fun to drink. Everyone likes to drink, you know, and you know, but it's the way it's done that is. Somebody said to me years ago, like when I was a kid, like they said, "Oh, drink to remember, not to forget." Mm. And that always stuck with me actually over the years, you know. And I mean, you know, it's really true, you know, like you know, you should drink to celebrate good times and have fun with friends and stuff like that. But yeah, don't let drinking. Sort of become one of those things. Don't let it become an escapism from feeling down or whatever, you know. Like so, which you know, again, it's really hard to do because you know. I mean, I haven't had a drink this year yet, but I really do fancy a drink. Yeah, I just don't want to sort of sit here on my own watching TV, having a beer. I mean, I've never really been someone like that anyway. I much prefer social drinking, you know.
But no, yeah, definitely with the drinking thing, I can relate. There was a time when you were talking about sort of a drinking to forget. Mm. I'd completely I'd messed up on something earlier in the year, and immediately after it happened, I was like, I can't do this. I've got to have a drink. Mm. And I just went. It was like literally about 1 PM. I just went. Oh, I just need a drink. Just like, and I was drinking to forget. That's what it was.
Yeah.
But I've always been much more of a social drinker, so I don't know. So don't let your feelings sometimes get the better of you in that way, because drink can often make you feel a lot worse if you're already in that bad situation.
Drink
responsibly.
But yeah, you know, again, it's just everything in moderation. You know, as long as you don't go over the top on anything, you know, like do it. You know, like because I think that trying to stop yourself or restrain yourself from doing something, especially if you're dieting or something like that, you know, like. And you decide, you're like, okay, right, I'm going to cut out everything. You're going to drive yourself mad because you're going to want things, you know, like, you know, I've been really big and like, I'm still, you know, fat, I would say, but I've been like really big. And, you know, like when you're used to sort of eating a lot and you're eating all these rich and, you know, wonderful things and you're eating chocolate and cakes and biscuits and stuff like that, you know, you can't just go from doing all of that to eating salad every day. You'll go mental trying to do that.
Of course, yeah. Just if we can quickly just jump back to retail therapy, and then I've got another thing sort of to say so that we can sort of wrap this up. But the retail therapy one, so sort of relates to the creative one as well. So I'll sort of put it all into one.
Yeah.
In the, I'd say second lockdown, like October time, October, it was basically all of November, right? Where nothing was sort of going on. I've always wanted to play the guitar. finally decided I'm going to buy a guitar and an amp, and it was expensive, but honestly, it's been one of the best purchases I've ever done, because, you know, it's something that I can just, again, it's a bit of escapism. I can just sort of learn a song and just play it and stuff like that, and just come up with my own sort of chords and stuff like that. So it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. Instruments, would recommend, if you're interested in getting an instrument, try it. I know a lot of people buy instruments and then never do it. I've done that before. There'll be people out there that, you know, will have sort of things that thought, oh, one day I want to do this. Do it now and see how it works out, because it might, you know, make you a bit more happy. What I want to talk about before we sort of think about ending this is really the main sort of point of the podcast. We've talked about it briefly, is just like being social and all that stuff. But like talking to other people has been a great way that I found myself sort of just not distracting myself, because sometimes I've talked about my own issues and it's made me happier afterwards, you know, releasing it onto somebody else and being like, you know, this is sort of what's going on, you know. But just talking to your mates and people that make you happy is, I mean, it seems obvious, but like, honestly, one of the best things that you can do. And I'll own up to it. Like, the reason why I started this podcast in the first place, the main reason was because I wanted to sort of do something that I was passionate about and talk about all these things that I was passionate about. And I felt needed talking about, and I didn't see anybody my age sort of talking about it out loud. So I was like, well, if I can do it, I might as well. And let's give it a shot. And the other reason was because I just wanted to talk to people. Like, genuinely, I was going through a rough path, rough patch when I was starting the podcast. And I just need an excuse sort of to just talk to people.
Yeah.
And the podcast was a great way to do that. And honestly, I can't recommend it. No, I'm not saying start a podcast, because you don't need to.
It's a bit of a sad thing that you can't just like phone up a friend and chat, like, you know, like that you need a kind of, I think, you know, people need to be a bit more open and a bit more sort of like, you know, everyone texts and, you know, or WhatsApp or something like that. But actually, that, you know, the kind of the art of phoning someone up, or even just a Zoom conversation or something like that. Actually, yeah, you know, it does lift the spirits. It does make you feel better.
It's just like, you know, talk to your mates and just do stuff. Like, even, and I am a big advocate of like the face-to-face sort of thing. So we've always sort of, the Talking Head podcast has always sort of been sort of a face-to-face conversation, even when it's just been audio. It's been me and the other person, and we've been able to see each other.
Yeah.
And it's much better than a phone call, because you can read facial expressions and all that stuff, and you can, there's a lot more in that. And that's why the podcast is now also a video, because not only is it more engaging to watch, but it feels more like a natural, real conversation rather than when you're just hearing. It's like being part of the conversation. And I hope that people do benefit from seeing our podcast and sort of gives them something to maybe look forward to, or make them sort of feel like they are part of the conversation, because all the audience are part of the conversation. You know, we're trying to up our the amount of sort of ways we can interact with you people and sort of get you involved and stuff like that. And we've always replied to every single message that we've ever got on the page. So honestly, if you do want to reach out and you just want to speak to anybody, I'm more than happy, and I'll put myself forward for that. You know, I know how it feels. I do know how it feels to feel like you have nobody, because I've been like that. And, you know, maybe there's been times where I actually do have people, but I just haven't really even thought about it. I've not reached out and been quite antisocial. And I'm quite a social person, so it's unusual for me to not reach out to people, because I should be, because that's who I am as a person, right? But like, because I was so down in dumps and convinced myself that I had no friends, I didn't do that. But I can tell to anybody that's listened to this, reach out and we'll get in touch and, you know, have a little bit of a conversation.
Let's get talking.
I mean, honestly, the podcast is one of the highlights of my week. It gives me something to do. It's like a weekly thing that I won't do on a specific day. And sort of, in a way, we all interact as a team anyway. We're all in contact all week, and we're sort of planning sort of different things and all the time. We've got a few things in the pipeline. I can't talk about them yet, but we've got a few things in the pipeline that we're sort of talking about. Some are more developed than others, but we're getting there. And so, yeah, we're working hard on getting that sort of done soon. So Look forward to that. I can't tell you what it is, so I don't know what you don't know what to look forward to. but we have got some exciting stuff to do, and I've got a few more things to do with fundraising to do. Stefan's got his fun run, so we're going to do some stuff with that. We can sort of announce that. We're going to sort of we can show that your support actually has done something, which will involve in Stefan getting covered in custard and gravy, hopefully, unless the supermarkets run out of gravy and custard the way they did with toilet paper in there. I've enjoyed the conversation we've had today, to be honest. Yeah. It's been nice and it's been lovely just sort of having a bit of social human interaction with other people, and you forget other people exist, but they do. And, it's nice. So thank you for coming on again.
Yep, no problem. It's been a pleasure.
We're going to keep these conversations going because it's more, I think, needed than ever that we sort of do promote this idea that we need to talk to each other. So, and that's been the entire purpose of the podcast. So pushing it out, we're going to get one out to you every single week. Fingers crossed. Unless Boris says that Zoom calls are banned as well, which will then be a bit of a bugger. Then we'll have to do phone conversations. And then if he bans phone conversations, we are really scuppered. And I'm going to have to do a solo podcast. And nobody wants that. well, maybe they do. I don't know. No, they don't. But they do want me on a bike machine at 1,000 followers. So
yes,
if you are still
like and follow, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to see, they don't want to see me doing, do they don't. But if you want to see me on a bike, reenacting the "Call on Me" music video, in a vest and a headband on a bike, then if we reach 1,000 followers by the end of the year, then we'll recreate that. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Blair. And we will all see you next week, hopefully, for another episode. Keep safe, stay positive, stay corona negative, and have a good one. I'll see you next week. Talk to your mates. Goodbye.